Our Almighty God and our Father in heaven, you are holy and you are mighty and you are the only hope that we have. You're our grace. You're our mercy. Father, you're the forgiveness and joy of our lives. Lord, we thank you today that we're able to worship you. Father, we thank you today for the blessing of being together, for the blessing of loving others, and the blessing of sharing family here on this earth and across this earth. Father, we are grateful for the gift of prayer. And we pray today as we study that we will grow to appreciate even more what it means to pray for one another. Father, I'm grateful for this family here. We have many that are sick and many that are going through difficult moments right now. We, as a family, continue to pray for our dear sister Isabel Burton and for the time that she's going through in the hospital. We pray for Drew Raines and the upcoming surgery that she's going to be having. Father, I pray that you will, Julia Dozier, Father, in the surgery she's going to be having, Lord, I pray that you will bless others that are waiting surgeries and are anticipating, Heidi and others that are going through things. That God, we bow before your throne and ask you to be with every single situation in this room. You know the needs of every heart. And Father, you have even told us that when our hearts don't have the words, that your Holy Spirit intercedes for us and translates the feelings that we can't even put into words. God, we're thankful to you for this day. We pray you bless this time of study. May I only speak your words. And Father, may we be led through this study today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it is always a blessing to be together. And it's always a blessing to see friends and family from different places. Great to have my good friend Nathan with us from West Dyersburg, devout soccer fan. He comes to church during the Nashville season of soccer, and I love that he's here with us and not in Dyersburg. My church secretary from Savannah is here this morning. She had a birthday this weekend. I think she turned 50, and not quite, but we love Miss Ann, and I just love seeing family and friends. My mother-in-law is here, one of my daughters and her husband, my son-in-law Will's here, and so just blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And you're here, and the best part of it all, God's here, and we're in his presence, and we're blessed to be able to worship together. Now, y'all know we like to have some fun and different things around here, and if you weren't able to see all of the whatnot on this past Wednesday night, I want to share just a touch with you. And this is probably one of my favorites because of the nature of, well, let's just be right. It's just our cuteness in sweet Ellie. But I love the creativity. The Bucky's craze has caught all over the place. And you can't really see Braden in there. He's the turtle in the middle or whatever that thing is. Bucky's. Okay, well, right, I got you. Whatever that is. Okay, chipmunk. And then again, I love it. It happened once before, but this is even better. I love it, love it, love it. So, and of course, there's no place like home, and I'm still lobbying with my wife to get a dog. Okay, so that's a good one. So, all awesome creativity in our teens, awesome in our adults, you know, the two stinkers in the middle, that's great. Just all kinds of fun, all kinds of fun. I try to get most everybody that I could kind of find and share and just kind of so everybody could see. Mike Looper as the surgeon, that's scary. Jerry as Moses, that was great. Just on and on, the Ark and all of their people and some random things. Price is Right. I mean, come on, you guys. You guys are amazing, and I'm just saying, I just love it. And then, perhaps my favorite character of the night, the legendary Riley as Methuselah. And, oh my, I just saw Bud and Linda Burgess. It is so good to have you back. Welcome back, Bud. Can we give the Lord a hand for helping Bud get through all this? Wow. For those that don't know, Bud Burgess was one of our early elders here at Spring Meadows, and he and Miss Linda are just anchors, and we are so thankful for your return, and a blessing to see you today. And I would never have put you as Methuselah, okay, just so you know that, Bud. But anyway, and then this cutie. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Photogenic. That's my smile of the week amidst all the others. And so I know she's not in here, so I can't really embarrass her. So I have asked Will Rivers to come up and read for us from James chapter 5, a passage of scripture that kind of leads us into our study today. And so I'm going to let him read for us from James 5 this morning.
Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
Amen. Thank you so much, Will. So this morning, as we begin thinking about prayer and praying for one another, I love this quote I saw this week. And it says, worry is a conversation that you have with yourselves about things that you cannot change. And prayer is a conversation that you have with God about things He can change. And I thought, what a powerful description. What an incredible thought, even as we've read in Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in everything with prayer and supplication. It says, let your request be made known to God. He talks about anxiety in one sense, and then he turns right on the other hand and he says, so what do you do with that? You let those requests be made known to God. And so we today talk about praying for one another. Steve, Coach, here is my literary introduction for the day. John Donne, in his poem, No Man is an Island, began like this. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent and part of the main. And I like that because I think that can be said of the body of Christ. There's none of us that stands alone. As Scripture says, no one lives to himself, no one dies to himself. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. We're a community, we're a family. And one of the greatest things that we can do for one another as family is to pray for one another. We started out with the pinnacle, or the base, I should say, that encompasses every one of these, and that is love one another. And out of that love for one another grows a multitude of other one another's. We have serve one another, confess our faults to one another. We have the idea of praying for one another. And it all grows out of our love for one another, because none of us is an island entire of ourselves. We're all part of the whole body of Christ. You know, there's so many people in our world that are looking for a place to belong, looking for a place where they were created to be. They long for it, but they never find it in all the places that they search for. When all along it was created for us in Christ's church, in His body. And we are to be living out what Christ intended for the body to be. His Christ-centered, Spirit-led, God-worshiping one another loving body. And this isn't a community that you just look for and find it. It's the kind of community that you create. And so as we think about one another, don't just think about, I hope somebody's praying for me. I think about, I hope I'm praying for the people that need to be prayed for. As I look around and I think about that, believers are commanded to pray for one another. James 5:17, you just heard this incredible text where it says that we are to pray for one another. Even in the context of several different things, James addresses and talks about sickness that we pray for. He also talks about spiritual sickness, where there is sin in our lives that we pray and people are forgiven. And perhaps James even understood that sometimes those two things overlap, but not always. But we're still called out to be people of faith that pray for one another. You think about it, the rest of the New Testament is full of examples in where we pray for one another. Jesus coming into the temple and his kind of this passion of what he witnessed in the temple and all the things that were going on there. He said, no, my house will be called a house of prayer. We do a lot of things as we worship the Lord, and we do a lot of things in a very good way, but I think this is something as we pray, do we invest our hearts as fully in this as a whole family? I know your elders do, because I'm with them most Wednesday nights when they pray through people's names specifically and situations that you're going through and things that some people, everybody knows about the situation, and some things that only that room may know about the situation, but they're praying for you. They're praying for us. They're praying for spiritual things. They're praying for decisions that you're making about your future. They're praying about marriages. They're praying about children. They're praying about a host of things. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. The prophet Samuel would tell the nation of Israel in saying this, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord. Think about this happening. That I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel says that it's possible for me to sin against God when I'm not willing to pray for you. And so praying for one another is essential. It's at the heart of this. You see it in the life of Paul, where Paul pleads with his brothers, brothers, pray for us. You see it as he prays for the church, and he goes through different texts. And I want to look, obviously, at Colossians chapter 1. We spent some time in Ephesians this year together, and so I just want us to look at Colossians chapter 1 and listen to Paul's prayer in verse 9 through 14. Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Pray for one another. We continually to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When you ever wonder what it is that you should pray for, or what it is that praying for one another might look like, go back. As Matt Cook challenged the men this past weekend, to go back and begin to weave your prayers through the very words of Scripture. Read the Scripture and pray these things as you think about the people sitting around you. What an incredible prayer to be prayed over the church, that God would increase your life and your wisdom and your understanding of the Spirit, what the Spirit gives, that we could live life worthy of Him We could bear fruit in every good work. We could grow in our knowledge of the Lord. We could be strengthened. Man, we could be strengthened to fight this good fight of faith. According to the power that giving us great patience and endurance. What an incredible prayer. Pray through the Scriptures. Pray the words that we find in the Scripture. Pray for the things that Jesus prayed for. Pray for the things that you read Paul praying for. Go back and read through the Psalms and find the words of the Psalms that say, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Dear God, help me to be thirsty for your heart. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? God, help me to realize the importance of being with you. Help me realize the value that I need to be spending time with you. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? God, help me be strong and help me have an answer when people doubt the faith that is sustaining me. And on you can go as you think about how do we pray for one another. Even Jesus himself, when he's going to the cross, takes Peter, James, and John with him into the garden and he says, pray for me. He modeled what it looked like to be prayed for, praying for one another. And as you look at Acts chapter 2, where we have the birthday of the church that Jesus in Matthew 16 would promise he would build, Acts 2 is the starting point of the first century church and where we get our roots. This is where our family is started. And we also get a glimpse and a snapshot into what life as part of the church was always intended to be. In verse 42, you find they devoted. Who are the they we're talking about? Well, you reel back up just a few verses and you find they're the people that were listening to the message on the day of Pentecost and ask, what must we do to be saved? Their hearts are touched with the message. And they said, you repent and you're baptized for the forgiveness of sins and you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, those that received the word, they were added to the number. So when the Scripture says, they devoted themselves, they were those that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, believed it, were willing to repent of their sins, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Why do we be baptized? Well, read the text. It says, this is for the forgiveness or remission of sins. And so the they we're talking about is the they that were baptized, received the Holy Spirit, and were added to the body of Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. First thing you find out about the early church is the things that you teach matter. You can't just teach what you want to teach when it comes to being a part of the body of Christ. You can't just decide, I'm going to do a church, I'm going to do it this way, we're going to call it this, we're going to make it this, we're going to do these kinds of things because it's just really whatever we want. You see, we are not part of the authority that goes into the church. Jesus said, all authority, Matthew 28 and 18, has been given unto me. And that's why as the church belonging to Christ, we do things that we find in Scripture. It has to be biblically authorized for us to feel that we can do it because the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. He says, number two, they continued to fellowship. Man, they love getting together. They love being with one another. I love that. Fellowship is not just something that you sit around and eat for, you know. Fellowship is conversation and community and life together. To breaking of bread and to prayer. Communion, the breaking of bread that we shared in today. How important is that we share that one another as the family of God? We remember what Jesus has done for us that made it possible for us to be united, that made it possible for us to be forgiven, that made it possible for us, for God to, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, raise us up a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What an awesome thought. That no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how bad it's been, no matter what the story is, that in Jesus, in Christ, I can be made a new creation. And he says, And they continued to celebrate that in their fellowship. They were all together. They were had everything in common. They sold things and gave to people as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread. They ate together in the homes and had glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor with all people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You know, it's important that you see that. I mean, the church doesn't add to the church. The Lord adds to the church. God, when a person responds to the gospel and is immersed into Christ, they are added by God to His family. You might place membership or say, I want to be recognized, or I want to serve under this eldership that is here, but it's God that adds you to the church when you surrender your life in humble obedience to the will of God. And so I think about this idea, and I think about Jesus asking for prayers and how the church lived out the prayers. I want you to just quickly think about the who, what, and the why of praying for one another. You know, when I think about the who, my mind doesn't go Mike Moss to a band. But when I think about the who, I think about... Dead. Okay, sorry. That was not funny. Mike, give a little laugh. Where's Steve Moffat when you need him? When I think about the who, for me it starts with the people who are closest to my life. It starts with my wife. It starts with my three daughters. It starts with now my two and a half son-in-laws. You know, you can share that with him, okay? This will be the only time he's ever called half, you know. But it starts with my two son-in-laws and whoever it is that might be my third. It starts with their future kids. It goes from there to my mom and my stepdad. It goes to my mother-in-law and the precious woman that she is and the blessing that she is to my family. And I'm saying that just because she's here today, I promise. She is wonderful. Though I did hear a story, and I need to pause this. This is a terrible story, but it's kind of like talking about a conflict in life. He said he comes crying. He's like, man, I can't believe it. My mother-in-law, I'm just torn. She ran off a cliff in a Cadillac. And he said, I don't know how to feel. You know, the Cadillac's gone, and you know, okay, God. But anyway, that's a terrible joke, too. My apologies. If you're not a good mother-in-law, go talk to mine. She's the best. She's fabulous. But when I think about who to pray for, I think about my extended family. I think about our family here in the church. I pray for God to save the lost. So I pray for those that are outside the body of Christ, but also pray for God to help keep the saved saved so that we don't get off track, so that Satan doesn't get into our heart through temptation and through other relationships and other things that addictions and things that have the potential to rip our lives apart and bring, as Satan came to do, to kill, steal, and destroy those things into our life. When I think about praying, I think about our missionaries. I think about people that we support as a church family all over the world. I think about Dr. Manny in the top left picture, and this group of new brothers and sisters who have just recently been baptized into Christ. And as you look behind him, that's not a river. That's in the flooding that was going on in their place during this time. We had terrible flooding in North Carolina. They've been dealing with this in India on and off through for years and years. And you know what it's doing there? It's bringing people to the message and the hope of the gospel. You know, I think about our newlywed couples. I think about our kids. I think about in the bottom corner, there's others that are our children. I think about the children that we support at Nicaragua Christian School and the three young people who just this past couple of weeks have been baptized into Christ because of investing in their lives spiritually. I think about Andy, and I think about the work that's going on with World Christian Broadcast that's touching lives all over the globe. I think about in the bottom corner, I think about Jose. I think about Sam Noah Wilson and Sam talking to his friend at work about faith, about Jesus. I think I told some of you, I don't know if I've shared it all, but Jose told me when he was studying with me, he said, you know, I was asking some questions about what, he said, I didn't come from a background, I didn't know anything about Christianity, about Jesus. He said, I'm trying to find out because my world religion was totally different. And so he's looking and he's asking questions. He said, I asked Sam about, and he gave me some books to read. Have I told y'all this? He gave me some books to read, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, like Mere Christianity or The Case for Christ or maybe, you know, Some Evidence That Demands a Verse, something that somebody's seeking, trying to answer some questions, you know. And I said, well, what books did he give you? I'm curious. And he goes, well, John and Mark and Luke and I think Matthew. Amen. Do we need anything else? I mean, here, one of our young men, one of our foremen at GM, is talking to one of his workers at GM about Jesus, and he says, hey, why don't we try reading the Bible together? And he said, I've been doing that, and I've been learning more and more about who Jesus is. And Jose obeys the gospel. I'm praying for the seeds that you're sowing and conversations that you're willing to have and step out that we don't even know where it's going to go. Can I share with you Jose's message? I asked him if I could share this with you today, and he said yes. Jose, he says, I've been praying a lot and reading about what God has planned for me, and I've come to the conclusion that God has put me here. He's in serving in Syria with our military as a medic right now, in case you haven't met him. Has put me here to help and to save others. I've been teaching others, even though I know very little myself. And I was able to help one of my friends to learn the gospel. I was able to help him seek the knowledge that he needed and to be saved. He was baptized this weekend. He was an atheist for the past 7 years. But from talking to me and from hearing my story on how I was saved, he made a change in his mind and his closed-minded ways. So Chuck, later on down the line when I come back, I'd like to do missionary work for the church. I know it'll be a while, but I just wanted to put it out there. Praise God. I mean, who are you praying for? Please keep praying for Jose, because you know the easiest place in the world to be a Christian is absolutely not our military, right? There are people who are, man, they're living it out. They're living out, but I promise it's not easy. The Christian soldier is probably the anomaly, even though we have some wonderful ones here. Who are you praying for? Pray for your good neighbors. Pray for your bad neighbors, right? Pray for yourself in dealing with your bad neighbors. Jesus would say it in Matthew 5, 44 and 45, but I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. What are some things you pray for as you pray for your enemies? Well, think about this, that they would come to value God and reverence Him. That they would come under God's rule and become His loyal subjects. That they would love to do God's will. That God would provide them with the resources they need and the opportunities to learn. Who are you praying for? What are you praying for? Scripture is filled with what's. We shared just a minute ago, if you don't know what to pray for, go back and read some of these texts. Read what Paul spoke and he prayed for those early Christians. You know, as I think about praying for one another in this room, I think about times I've done that. I prayed for your kids. I pray for you guys. I pray for the decisions that you're going to make about where you go to school. I pray for the decisions you're going to make about what you're going to do. You know, Jerry and I talk about it oftentimes. Some of you guys, it's like I'm praying for some of you guys to replace Jerry. Not anytime soon, but we know it. He can't have long. You know, we were talking about who's going to drive the bus from the Golden. I think it's got to be Jerry because it's. Okay, but you know, the reality is somebody's got to replace me, and you guys can do it. I've heard you speak. Somebody needs to be on this stage. one day preaching the gospel. And I'm praying for that out of this group. Some of you gals are going to do amazing things for the Lord. Some of you are going to be missionaries one day. Some of you are going to somewhere in the other part of around the world. And I'm praying for that. What are we praying for our kids? That they're going to play all this travel ball, and they're going to get a scholarship to some college, and they're going to be just get their degree. I mean, what are we really praying for? What are we praying about? What do we define success? I don't care if you go and you're working for the waste management of Spring Hill, picking up somebody's trash every day, if you're honoring Jesus Christ with your life and you're faithful to Him. That's all that matters. No disrespect to anybody in their jobs, but as we think about our world, the world doesn't define that as a high place of success. We pray about health for our kids and safety for our kids. What if we prayed as much? I don't know, that's been mine big time. I mean, you send two daughters to live in the city of Memphis for 2.5 years. Brother, you're praying for safety. And we've seen that tragically even this past week, have we not? But what if I prayed as much for my kids to be saved as I did for them to be safe? That nothing would come in between them and being saved, as I do about them putting their seat belts on every time they're in the car and not texting and driving on their side of the road and the other people driving on their side of the road and people at the gas station not hijacking, carjacking, pulling out guns, robbing, doing whatever things that drugs have insanely put somebody's mind to do. God keep them safe, yes, but God make sure they've got time to be saved. I don't want my kids waiting so long to become Christians that they miss the opportunity that God's placed in their heart, their love for God, and they know Jesus and they want to be like Jesus, but they just for some reason have kind of held back. And God help them to be saved. Help them to repent, to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. God, let them be born into your family like they were born into my family. You see, what am I praying for? I'm praying for those that are grieving. They've lost loved ones. Their hearts are broken. The tragedy has entered their lives. I'm praying for those that are struggling with health issues. They're struggling with their decisions about who they're going to marry. I love the story about my sweet, sweet Miss Raina Harden was one of our elders' wives in Savannah. Had had some kids. Some of you may have had three of them served on the mission field. One of them is newlywed. One of the things that Miss Raina would do with her 4- and 5-year-old class at church is she would teach them she was teaching them to pray about who God has for them to marry. That God, you would help me find a Christian husband or a Christian wife that will help me get to heaven. It was one of the most beautiful things I can ever remember hearing, is listening to those sweet children when they would pray, not in Miss Raina's class, but later on when we're sitting around, I say, hey, little buddy, why don't you lead us in prayer? And he goes through the typical things about, you know, God, thank you for the day, and thank you for this, and thank you for that. And then all of a sudden there would come Miss Raina's line. And dear God, help me to find a Christian wife or a Christian husband. And God, help me to be a Christian husband, and help me to find somebody that will help me go to heaven. And man, my heart would just melt. What are we praying for? James teaches us not only to pray for the sick and pray for those that are in sin. God teaches us to pray. James says, pray also for wisdom. When you lack wisdom, ask for it. Pray for wisdom for other people that are going through big time decisions in their lives and going through struggles. Ask people to pray for you. Pray for direction. Pray for wisdom. Pray that we continue to grow in our faith, not as just numerically from 3,000 to 5,000 like they did in the book of Acts, but like Peter wrote about, we grow when we add to our faith virtue, and our virtue knowledge, and our knowledge temperance, and temperance brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, on and on and on. We grow spiritually as disciples of Jesus. One of the things that we do as we pray is then we kind of think about, well, why do we pray? Prayer is a powerful gift. Prayer unites us in community. Galatians 6 and 2 says that we are to bear one another's burdens. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We've talked about serving one another. There are needs that you have. But one of the greatest needs that we have is when we have needs in prayer. Now, I've given some of our young men that are at the different sides here some cards, and I'm going to ask them to pass them out right now and give everybody a card. I told you about this just a little bit ago. We've got cards on the back wall, but this is a pray for one another card. Maybe you can use it if you've got a need that you have right now that is going on, that you need somebody to help you with something. You could put that down and put your phone number on the back. Or maybe it's just a prayer request and you want to put your prayer request on this card. And there's a board on the back wall. Because I think it's important that not only do we talk about praying for one another, we try to find ways and avenues in which we can encourage that. I think about the passage in Ephesians 3 where it talks about we kneel before the God and Father of the whole creation from whom we derive our name. And how that Ephesians 3 passage ends with the statement, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all we ask or imagine. He's saying, He can do more than you even think about. What have you asked God to do for someone else? You know, I think we pray because I love the statement, it unites us as a community. Praying for one another removes us from isolation. Now, I'm not talking about, at this point in time, I'm not just talking about you privately praying with someone. I'm talking about you being willing to say a prayer with somebody out loud and talk to them about it. Because in that, we not only share our faith, we also share our pain, and it invites someone into that sacred space of our heart. Men, I encourage you, because we want to be wise, but men praying with men and women praying with women, not because of anything other than just the sanctity of marriage and guarding your hearts in that space. Now, there's nothing wrong from time to time if there's prayer, but it's wise that we, because it is such a sacred heart space when you pray with somebody. There have been articles written about marriages and husbands and wives that pray together, and the statistics of the length and the longevity of their marriages just like exponentially being greater than other marriages that don't pray together. You see, when we hear the emotions of the heart of somebody we love, the reflex should be that we are willing to pray and ask God into that space. When we pray for someone else, it draws us closer in the relationship we have with them. Praying for your spouse or your child or your friend helps them to see how much you love them. Moms and dads, pray with your kids. And almost nobody that you meet will decline the offer to be prayed over. You got somebody sometimes you run into people and you can just kind of see stuff. And you may be like, I'm an introvert, Chuck, it's not happening, right? That's okay. Can you just stop and say, hey, is everything all right? I'd be glad to pray for you if you need me to. You'd be surprised. It's one of the most powerful free gifts that you can give to anyone. Prayer lightens our burdens. It's a gesture that gives us more peace than we can understand. It's a peace that, again, Paul describes as passing all understanding. Prayer points us to God. You know, when we're praying with a friend, it demonstrates this is where to bring your burdens. It reminds us we're never meant to carry heavy burdens on our own, and it builds us up spiritually, not in an egotistical, pharisaical kind of way, but it's like you're exercising the spiritual muscles when you pray out loud with someone. It may be outside your comfort zone, but I want you to think about this. God never commanded us to remain comfortable. He instructed us to pray for one another and to bear one another's burdens. And so as we think about this, I again challenge you to write something down on your card. What What's been heavy on your heart the last few weeks? What's something that's there that you'd like to ask someone to pray about? Who's someone that you know what's going on in their life, and you haven't had the opportunity yet to just say to them, hey, listen, I love you, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. Can we just pray about that right now? And just to pray right then, right there. How can I pray for you? I think about that passage in Ephesians 3, that we invite God's power and presence into our midst, into our homes, into our marriages, into our families, into our problems and struggles. And I think, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, to Him be all glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This morning, it may be the case that you have something that is a prayer that you would like to share with the whole church and ask us to pray, as we did last week with Caleb. He wanted us to pray about his life, about his struggles, about problems that he's been having in his life. He's also wanted us to pray about some of his best friends. Maybe you've got a prayer that you would like to be heard in this audience today. Or maybe you're sitting there this morning and you know that there are people in this room that have been praying for you to become a Christian. They may have been praying since the day you were born, asking God to, God, help me teach my daughter what it means to be a Christian. Help me teach my son what it looks like to be a godly man. God, help me share with my husband so that he'll see the need to become a child of God, to surrender to you, to be immersed into Christ. God, help my son to obey the gospel. Maybe there's somebody who for years has been praying for you to take that step of faith that says, I want to be Jesus's. I want to belong to Jesus. God, I want my sins forgiven. I want to start my new life in Christ. If somebody's been praying for you, whether it's been 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, what if today's the day that you said, Father, I'm ready to help answer that prayer. I want to surrender to you. If there's any way we can encourage you, we sing this song this morning. May God draw you ever nearer to Him. If there's any way we can help you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?